Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Happy Tuesday, February 26th, 2019 to you all out there. Thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your weekday, coming to you live right here on WKAR AM 870 105.1 FM. We've got a great show coming your way. As you Monday listeners know, we spent pretty much the entire hour recapping the magic that took place on Sunday out at the Chrysler Center for Michigan State men's basketball, as Tom Izzo's Spartans were able to knock off the Michigan Wolverines, really shocking everybody. There were many, including myself, that counted the Spartans out. No Josh Langford, no Nick Ward, no problem. And a big reason why Michigan State able to pull that out is because Cassius Winston is just playing lights out right now. You know, I kind of broke down what exactly Cassius Winston is doing this season and how he's doing it. We broke down the game plan that led to the Michigan State win over the Wolverines. And not at noon today, actually, Tom Izzo, head coach of the MSU men's basketball team, he held his press conference at 11 a.m. instead of 12 noon today. So we'll play to you, as we customarily do, each and every week, either on Monday or Tuesday, depending on when that press conference happens. It's going to be either one of those days, right? We're going to play you about 8 minutes of what Tom Izzo had to say at the podium at the Breslin Center this morning, as Izzo has had some time now to take a look at the film. You'll get some of his X's and O's takeaways, and also you'll get to hear what Izzo has to say about the incredible year that Cassius Winston is having. And also whether or not, you know, Twitter always has to be a part of a Tom Izzo press conference, right? Tom Izzo hates, and hate is a strong word, right? He hates Twitter, notoriously known for hating Twitter. With all of the attention now, a lot of attention, I wouldn't say all, but with a lot of attention now on his Michigan State men's basketball team due to that win on Sunday, is Izzo worried about how his team deals with this as we now come down to the home stretch of the Big Ten season? So Izzo will also address that. I am really excited about our guest. I'm excited about every guest, but I'm particularly excited about this guest today because he is a young man who is still in college here at Michigan State University, and he's already a millionaire. I kid you not, folks. In this ever-changing world that we live in, that is 2019, you know, we are finding new ways on how to bring in the bucks. And no doubt about it, video games really have become just, they've exploded over the years. You know, they've always been big, but it's at a new level now. Well, this young man's name is Matt Meager. Again, he's a student here at Michigan State University who has built up quite the following online for his viral YouTube videos breaking down the video game Madden. And we all know Madden is like the highest selling video game of all time, and it's still popular to this day. I'm a big Madden fan. Matt Meager, better known as MMG on YouTube, Matt will be taking some time from his lavish lifestyle to join us live here on WKAR's Current Sports to tell his story. I didn't know about Matt Meager until yesterday when I was reading a piece, a profile that was done by Phil Friend of the Lansing State Journal. Trust me, you don't want to miss this chat, especially those who play the video game Madden. Maybe you'll learn a thing or two, all right? And then on the back end of the show, we will talk about the surging Detroit Pistons. What has happened? I mean, this team is totally turning it around right now, and it looks like the red, white, and royal blue may. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but it looks like they may make the playoffs. Crazy stuff, right? We still got a lot of season left to play, but we'll talk about how the Pistons have been able to do this. We will do all of that while, of course, inviting you all out there to be a part of the hour. Multiple ways in which you can join the conversation here on WKAR's Current Sports. You can pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. You can also weigh in on social media. Go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, and you can also hop on that site that Tom Izzo hates, Twitter. You can tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Alex Rio, the engineer of this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Alec, let's hit him with our Current Sports quick hit headliners. Start with some local news concerning one of the best local soccer players or football players we have ever seen. As many of you know, Juwan Jones, he was drafted to the MLS, Major League Soccer, not too long ago out in Chicago. Juwan Jones went on to have a great career at East Lansing High School and then taking his talents to right here at Michigan State University under head coach Damon Rensing. And now the former EL high school star has officially signed an MLS contract with the New England Revolution. The Revolution signed Jones as a first-round super draft selection, number 11 overall. How about that? The former Spartan midfielder has featured for the club this preseason. Jones has caught MLS attention at the combine as the only prospect to place top 10 and get this, every single category. Absolutely amazing. Congratulations to Juwan Jones officially inking that deal with the New England Revolution. All right, the Detroit Pistons. Andre Drummond led the Pistons in a matchup against the Indiana Pacers last night, 113-109, your final. Blake Griffin had a triple-double, his 10th career triple-dub, 20 points, 10 boards, 10 assists. Drummond continues to shine this year, notching his 48th double-dub this year, tied with Rudy Gobert and Joel Embiid for first in the league in this statistic. The Pacers, third place in the NBA's Eastern Conference, were again without guard Victor Oladipo, out for the season with a ruptured quad. Luke Kennard went 5 of 8 from three-point land, 19 points. This team has been surging, an offense that has seen constant contributions from at least seven players. They have won 7 of their last 8, sit at the 7th spot in the NBA's Eastern Conference, and their next game is against the San Antonio Spurs tomorrow night, 8:30 p.m. You can catch that one on Fox Sports Detroit. Also, more NBA news. It was a historic night for LeBron James.
LeBron James.
I love that. I love that snippet. Historic night for LBJ, the king, after finishing with a triple-double. Despite the Lakers' loss, what was it, a double-triple? It's written weird. I think it was a triple-double last night. Despite the Lakers' loss to the Memphis Grizzlies, the Lakers, just a really struggling franchise right now. I don't know if LeBron, say it ain't so, LeBron James may miss the playoffs this year. Wouldn't that be crazy? 110-105, the final last night. He became the first person in NBA history to breach the top 10 in points and assists. So that's the bit of history that LeBron James made last night. Very impressive stuff. He posted the achievement on Instagram. I mean, why though? This is the thing that annoys me about LeBron James. You know, boasting about an individual accomplishment when your team lost that day. That's just me. I have a pet peeve when it comes to that kind of stuff. But this is what he said on Instagram. Quote, I literally have no words. I guess like, and he tagged the hip-hop MC J. Cole. I guess like at Real Cole World, that's J. Cole's Instagram handle, said, quote, even when the dark out, the sun is shining somewhere. Throughout it all, no matter good or bad, appreciate the journey. Thank you to all who continue to take this journey with me. Hashtag the kid from Akron. Hashtag strive for greatness. Hashtag James Gang. The post is fine. The night of when you lost an embarrassing game to the Memphis Grizzlies, I just have a problem with the timing. That's LeBron James, though, for you. All right. Also, former NBA standout Mike Bibby being investigated by police in Arizona after a teacher accused him of, and this is graphic, just warning you, of rubbing his genitals against her. That's what district officials said. A spokeswoman for the Paradise Valley Unified School District confirmed in a statement to the Arizona Republic that Bibby is under investigation by Phoenix police after a teacher at Shadow Mountain High School, where Bibby coaches the varsity girls, boys basketball team, alleged he grabbed her by the waist and pulled her toward his car and allegedly committed that act in February of 2017. A spokeswoman by the name of Becky Kelba told the newspaper that Phoenix police opened an investigation into the teacher's claims on February 14th of this year, so not too long ago. All right, I'll go behind the glass for notoriously known hockey fan, hockey fanatic, Alec Rio.
Notorious.
Oh, notorious. You're known for loving hockey on this show. I know you want to talk about your Detroit Red Wings. What's up, brother?
Yeah, well, the Red Wings returned to home ice against the Montreal Canadiens just a day after trading Gustav Nyquist. And this trade was made to give Philip Zadina a better spot because he was originally playing on the fourth line. And to me, I would rather have him playing in Grand Rapids than only have about 8 minutes a game. So this was a good trade for me because they got a second rounder this upcoming draft and then a third rounder in the next draft. And so he's about to start his second NHL game. And the Red Wings are currently sitting in third to last place in the NHL while the Habs occupy the first wild card spot in the Eastern Conference. And so puck drop for tonight's game will be at 7:30 from Little Caesars Arena.
Okay, and Nyquist going to, I believe, the San Jose Sharks, if I remember that correctly.
Yep, San Jose.
He is going to San Jose, and I think there was a funny article out there that Gustav Nyquist actually voiced his fear of sharks, and he goes to now play for the Sharks, which is kind of funny.
You gotta love the irony.
This is just the ignorance of me not being a hockey fanatic, but I gotta ask this. Why do they call the Canadians the Habs? Always wondered that. Why? Alec, you don't even know that one. You had to pass the mic, brother. Why in the world are they called the Habs? Now we go to other notoriously known hockey fan here on Current Sports, Jack Kerwin, who's also behind the glass. Jack, go ahead.
Okay, so Habs is short for habitants, which is French for like habitants or inhabitants of like Canada. Oh, so boy. That's why their logo is actually like a CH. The H stands for habitants, and Habs is just short for habitants. So it's actually, the nickname's like 100 years old.
How about that?
Yeah.
You learn something new every single day.
French Canada, man.
I thought it was going to be something really simple, but that was kind of difficult. You had to really know your history in order to answer that. So, all right. Thank you, Jack, for your current sports trivia of the day, I guess. All right. Detroit Tigers are in action. They actually just got underway against the New York Mets in spring training. Matthew Boyd making his first appearance of the exhibition season for the Tigers. And Tim Tebow, kid you not, Tim Tebow is in the lineup with the Mets as a left fielder, and Tebow isn't a bad baseball player. Notable prospects playing in today's game for the Tigers include center fielder Daz Cameron, also Jake Rogers, both acquired from the Houston Astros in the Justin Verlander trade back in 2017. Again, first pitch was at 1:10 p.m. We'll keep you updated on that score throughout this hour. And Colin Kaepernick reportedly was in talks with the XFL about joining the rebooted league once it does launch in 2020. I believe, though, talks have stalled because Cap reportedly was seeking a $20 million contract to play there. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens with Cap. I would love to see him on a football gridiron, though. I think that would just be entertaining just to see if he, just to see what he still has left in the tank. All right. That does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. Again, multiple ways in which you can join the fun. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. The new look Facebook live stream. Big shout out to our social media team, led by Bill Richards, who have been constantly tweaking and making this thing really fun and doing a great job. It looks great. Check it out at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can also hop on Twitter and tweet us, tweet the show at WKAR News. And you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR.
By Ish, made it happen.
Untied by Wayne Ellington. Back to Ish, he's got Sabonis on him. Ish down deep to Dre. Nice reverse, Glasser goes.
2 minutes remaining.
Tried to shoot a pass inside to Andre.
He did.
Somehow, it ricocheted off the Pacers who thought they had a steal. Julia gets Turner. Ish finds Langston Galloway for the long gun. It goes. Yeah. Dribble hands to Langston Galloway. Floating gun goes for Langston. Falling down. Bodies everywhere. The whistle's going to blow. Blake guns for three. It's through. Blake Griffin with a clean make. Ish lobs to Dre. Touched it down. And now the Pistons are up 13. Give back to Blake. Clocks at three. Back outside, Langston! He beat the buzzer with the long gun! Wow! Backs him in. Lost it, got it back. Shot clock at two. Luke Kennard for three! And it's through! Blake Griffin comes to the ball. And no whistle. The horn sounds. This one's over. The Pistons have beaten the Indiana Pacers.
Big shout out to the red, white, and royal blue. How about the Detroit Pistons right now? You guys know I'm a Detroit Pistons fan. Must admit, I have not watched a lot of Pistons basketball this year just because they are a roller coaster. They have been on a roller coaster, not just this season, but in seasons past, recent seasons past. And I didn't think, especially when looking at how this team limped into the All-Star break. Did win a few games to continue this surge after the break, but I didn't think that the Pistons right now would be in the position that they are currently in after watching the basketball that I did watch earlier this season. But they are finding a way, and they are winning. And right now, if the playoffs were to begin today, the Pistons would be in the playoffs. Can you believe that? Big props, and I'll elaborate more on this later on this hour as we discuss how the Pistons have been able to do this. But big props, first off, to Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond, who have seemed to, Blake has played good all year, which is the reason why he was the lone Piston to be represented in Charlotte in this year's NBA All-Star game. But Andre has had lapses at moments, mentally not focused, I believe. He's locked in, though. He's been locked in as of late. So big props to Andre Drummond and Blake Griffin for leading this team right now, a team that is on a three-game win streak. They are winners of seven of the last eight and sit in seventh place of the NBA's Eastern Conference. They will be playing the Toronto Raptors if the playoffs were to begin today. So shout out to the D. That's great stuff. All right, more on the Pistons later on this hour. I just want to, before I play to you, you know, what Tom Izzo had to say at the podium at the Breslin Center, as he's had time now to digest and watch some film based on what happened on Sunday between his Michigan State Spartans and John Beilein's Michigan Wolverines. Just a real quick final thought on what Michigan State was able to do on Sunday. And now looking forward, you know, thoughts on how Michigan State is going to close out the year. First off, Michigan State getting that win over Michigan, that was big because there weren't many that predicted Michigan State to win that game in hostile territory in Ann Arbor at the Chrysler Center without two huge pieces. We all knew that Josh Langford was going to be out because he's out for the year. That's been announced weeks ago. But Nick Ward not being available for this game, all of the pressure in the world placed on the shoulders of Cassius Winston and that team. And Cassius Winston showed up, man. He showed up and showed out. He played all 40 minutes. So did Xavier Simpson. But Cassius was brilliant in that game. You know, I broke down what exactly Michigan State was able to do to pull out that victory. And it's really been what it has been this entire year. It was a mix of high ball screens that Cassius Winston read to the tee. They allowed him to drive, and when they did cut him off, Cassius did a great job at finding the open man. And, you know, when you look at the box score for Michigan State, what was particularly amazing to me, and I didn't realize this until Izzo stated it at the podium at the Breslin today, is that Cassius Winston had 27, 2 points shy of his career high, which he matched set against Nebraska earlier this season. 27 points. All 27 of his points were made without one three-pointer going down. He was 0 for 3 from deep, and we all know how great of a shooter Cassius Winston is, but he did not make one three-pointer, finished still with 27 points. Quite amazing. Throw in 8 assists. Amazing. Also, for kicks, throw in 2 steals. And oh, by the way, he only had 3 turnovers. Michigan State as a team, only 6 turnovers, folks. That's it. Michigan as a team, and this was brought up near the end of the show. We talked about this with our dear listener, Kirk from Grand Ledge. Michigan as a whole only had 6 assists. I mean, when you look at that Michigan offense on Sunday, it was a lot of ISO ball, a lot of backyard basketball. Just give the ball to somebody and let them do what they do or do what they don't. It was a lot of do what they don't on Sunday. But just 6 assists on, 23 made buckets. That's not going to get it done against Michigan State. So the only point I had to make near the end of the show that may allude to a different outcome when these two teams meet again to finish out the regular season is the fact that Charles Matthews was not healthy, and that hurt Michigan a lot. Charles Matthews, 28 minutes for him. He sat out a lot due to when he did injure that right ankle. I forget whose foot he did step on in the first half, but that hurt Michigan a lot. And John Beilein, if you listen to him in the postgame presser, he didn't want to elaborate on that. He didn't want to make any excuse, so he didn't harp on that. But anybody could see that, you know, Charles Matthews not being out there, That hurt Michigan. 1 for 8 for Charles, just 4 points. Every other Michigan starter scored in double digits except for Charles Matthews. Jordan Poole, 15. John Teske, who they should have went to more, 3 of 5, 10 points. Iggy Brazdeikis, he had 16. And then you had Charles Matthews with 4. And Isaiah Livers was the only player to come off the bench and score for the Michigan Wolverines. He had 6 points. Big win. We'll see what happens from here as Michigan State now has some time to rest, recuperate a bit until they hit the road this Saturday to take on Indiana. And Indiana, a team that will be in action actually tonight at home against Wisconsin. So Indiana, a team that Michigan State is hoping to enact a bit of revenge on come this weekend, okay? All right, what I want to do right now, I want to play a bit of what Izzo had to say. Alec, I believe we have that audio queued up, right? Tom Izzo at the podium this morning at 11 a.m., not his usual noon time. Here is a bit of what Tom Izzo had to say, starting with whether or not Tom is a bit worried about this team getting some, I don't know, newfound attention now that it did knock off the Michigan Wolverines on the road on Sunday. Here is him starting with that question.
I do a little bit. I fear it every day because I don't think any one of us have any clue. You know, I learned a great lesson a few years ago upon a death of a friend of mine's dad, that you can never tell somebody you know what they're going through unless they've gone through it themselves. And so I never, ever do that. You know, now I can do it because my father passed and in that respect. But I've never been a Division I athlete. You know, Northern Michigan to the UP is Division I, but it's not to the rest of the country. So I've never had the scrutinization as an athlete. And so it's hard to appreciate it, but most of you haven't either. And so whether you read about it, whether you write about it, whether you see it on Twitter, I think we blow it off a lot of times on how it would affect somebody positively or negatively. I don't read the stuff that you're talking about, so I don't know. But I do know what I think my players read, and it's always a worry now because it's a worry both ways. You win, you worry. You lose, you worry. Because there's no happy medium. I think it was Jordy Nelson talking about Aaron Rodgers the other day. He did say that, you know, the media feasts on the negative, and Twitter is 10 times that. And so we do have to be concerned of that stuff, and we'll have a little – I have an academic meeting at 3 to go over, you know, because we've missed some school. And then I'm going to tell them that, you know, I'm going to talk to them about focusing on one game at a time. There hasn't been a lot of years where everything was totally in our hands at this time of year. There's been some, but, you know, you always need help from somebody. And I just look at this as we don't need any help. We just have to take care of our own business. And when you're in a position like that, your leadership better be good enough that you close out the outside world and you focus in for 2 weeks. That's great in theory, not always great in reality. And that's the one part that I wish, I don't know how you, maybe if you really hire younger coaches, you can do it. I wish you could go through it as a player and then go through it as a coach. But, you know, the Twitter era isn't that old, so I can't do both.
Tom, you're pretty vocal on Sunday in praising your coaching staff for the job they did in preparing. I wonder, how is the challenge different in going through a stretch when you've got key guys in and out, and for coaches game planning and kind of keeping things going?
You know, coaches, the assistant coaches always do a good job, but you know, we've really made an emphasis this year on trying to all be on the same page on everything. You know, there's coaching staffs are no different than playing groups, are no different than marriage or your own family. I mean, there's always going to be spats and, you know, best friends. You know, it always happens that way. But I think there's been, if I used a word that I've noticed in the last couple of weeks, and maybe it's because of the injuries, maybe it's because of all the things that's happened. But, you know, you always tell your team that it's just the players and coaches in this room that really know what's going on, and, you know, because it is the truth. And I think the word trust has really taken over this team a little bit. I think the players trust each other. I think the coaches trust each other. I think the players trust the coaches, and I think the coaches are starting to trust the players. And you say that's simple, but it's not simple and doesn't always happen. And I think that's starting to happen more and more, and probably because of necessity. You know, we're running out of bodies and our margin for error is minimal. And I mean, you sit there and just hope nobody gets in a foul trouble or this and that, just the reality of what you do. But when you do that, it also makes things like turnovers. You know, you talk more about them and say, guys, we're not going to win if we do now because our margin for error is so small. Cutting out, you know, I know you're going to have some slippage, but if you do, we're going to lose, you know. And I don't think that's pressure. I think that's just reality of where we are. And I think they believe it. I think they trust it. And I think my staff has done a good job. I've made sure that each one of them spend a little more time with their group than normal, just because, you know, you can wear on a team too. So you got to be careful of that. But we're trying to talk about so many things that maybe, you know, key subs now are key players, or average subs before are key players now. So that brings the team together too. So I don't know. You know, if you ask me exactly where we are, I felt like we've been making progress. When Nick went down, it was, I mean, it was not a lot of good days in the office as far as figuring out what we could do, but we've kind of band-aided some things together, and sometimes those don't always last forever, but we can hold on. You know, we're going to go down and try to win another game and just take it one at a time.
Tom, I know we've talked a lot about the point guard being the quarterback, and through your time here, you've had a lot of good point guards. Not all of them have been the greatest leaders. Some of them have been, but how does it affect a team or make them better when that point guard is playing at a certain level and also becomes that sort of leader all at the same time?
Well, you know, there's some million different ways to leadership. You always hear that he leads by example, which is the one I tell you guys I hate. Okay. But leading by consistency is pretty good too. You know, like Cassius is a very consistent player. I mean, unlike me, he's a little more level, which is probably good. Maybe we make a good team because I don't know if I'm Frick and he's Frack or whatever we are, but it does have a balance to it. And but I think when your best players become your hardest workers and your best leaders, the most recent was Denzel, you know, and I think Cassius, what he is he's smart enough to see what's needed. Like, not a very selfish kid. That's a neat thing. I mean, took 13 shots in a game that, you know, you'd think you'd have to take more because of our situation. He made other people better, which is a great form of leadership. You know, I'm always going to push the vocal part because I just believe in it. And he is getting better at it. And he takes that final step. And now, you know, he's done some things that three or four and maybe at least the history since I've been here have done. And I'll include Magic in that since I was an assistant to the guy who coached him and I learned all the stories about him. So, yeah, I think it's very important, and I think you're right. We've had some good point guards. Some have not been as reliable in one way. I mean, you're talking about a kid who does it off the court, on the court, in the classroom, and now is starting to take on some of those other qualities that puts him in rare air.
He is certainly in rare air, and I believe we could just, you know, I think it's safe to say we can just hand the Big Ten Player of the Year award to Cassius Winston right now. I don't see anybody taking that thing from him. He became yesterday officially the first Spartan ever to win the Big Ten Player of the Week award five times. quite amazing. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will talk with Madden YouTube sensation, MSU's own Matt Maher, better known as MMG Online. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You just heard the voice of Tom Izzo, head coach of the Michigan State men's basketball team. Of course, the Spartans getting a huge victory on Sunday, topping in-state rival Michigan. Reminder, these two teams will meet to close out the regular season. A lot can be on the line there depending on what happens in these next few games for both squads. But right now, Michigan State men's basketball sitting atop the Big Ten Conference. Huge stuff, folks. Michigan State plays its next game come this Saturday on the road at Indiana. Tonight, Indiana will play host to the Wisconsin Badgers. Also, real quick, you know, I got kind of cut off yesterday, Alec, because, you know, Connor Mathis is in every Monday and Wednesday. And we had some passionate callers that called in yesterday to weigh in on the game on Sunday. So I didn't get a chance for my weekend winner segment to shout out the Oscars like I wanted to. But the Oscars are fun. Do you watch that? Are you a big movie guy? You're not a big movie guy, are you?
I like the movies, but, like, I'm not really in on the award shows.
Yeah, you're not a big award show guy. I'm a big movie buff, so I naturally watch the Oscars, even though I'm not a huge, like, I don't lose my mind because the Oscars are on. I just like seeing those that I'm a fan of in the world of movies under one roof. It's pretty cool stuff. But a big shout out to Regina King, also Mahershala Ali, who won for Best Supporting Actor for his role in Green Book. I got a chance to watch Green Book over the weekend, this past weekend. Amazing movie. Blew my mind. Also, Spike Lee. That's probably the biggest winner for me from that night, because Spike Lee, all of the movies and beautiful art that he's made on screen, it's a shame that he's just now winning an Oscar, but he won his first competitive Oscar on Sunday as well. So shout out to Spike. Brooklyn in the house. Love that. All right, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports, because this is a guest that is unlike really any guest we've had here on Current Sports. You know, we've had and we've talked about e-games before and how video games are becoming so huge. They've been huge, but I feel like it's reaching another level now because of the integration with video games and social media. And my guest today certainly speaks to that. His name is Matt Maher, and I found out about his story, like many of us locally, due to the Lansing State Journal producing a very cool feature on him. It was written by Phil Friend of the LSJ. And it breaks down this incredible story of this Michigan State junior. Yes, he's still a student who has now made an incredible living right now by making videos on YouTube centered on one of, if not the most popular sports game out there, Madden. We have him live in studio right now. Those watching on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can see Matt's face. Matt Maher in the house. He's better known. His alias, if you will, is MMG Online. Matt, first off, thank you for your time this afternoon, man. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good. That was a flattering introduction, so thank you very much for that.
Well, I tell you what, when you read the piece, I mean, my jaw was on the floor. You know, just reading about your story and how you've been able to really make a living off of this, you know, posting videos to YouTube centered on Madden. I just first off want to go back to the start of this.
Go ahead.
When did you first start playing the game, and how did you slowly build what you have built now?
It's been a long time. So on YouTube, I've been there for only 4 years. Mm-hmm. But since playing the game, it's been like since I was so young. I mean, everybody like had an old copy of Madden that they played. I'm sure everybody who's played Madden before can think of one specific Madden that they really liked.
Yeah.
I was playing since I was like 9. I loved the game. I loved the NFL. I played football in high school. I always loved football.
You're from DeWitt, Michigan.
Yes, DeWitt, Michigan.
I also have to say that you played under the great Rob Zimmerman for the DeWitt Panthers.
I love that, man.
That's a football powerhouse. And I'll get to your playing career as well, because you are no slouch on the gridiron, okay? But go ahead.
Appreciate that. But it was about sophomore year in high school when I started playing Madden on your phone, actually. So there's Madden that most people would see like on Xbox and PS3 and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But then there's Madden on your phone. It was Madden Mobile. It was kind of like a dumbed-down version. It was so easy because me and all the friends on the football team, we could play on the bus, like going to school, play at lunch. And we played so much. Like, this game was an absolute addiction for us. And it got to the point where I was playing so much more than my friends that it was not even fun to play me at that point. And this is not a brag. No one wants to brag about how much they played a video game, right? Yeah. So this is not a humble brag right here. This is kind of an insult to myself. But I played so much, my friends would just like get at me every single day, like, dude, you gotta stop playing. Like,
right. It's an obsession.
This is not cool anymore. And I was like, trust me, I have. And in the game, there's like a virtual currency, basically, where you can like purchase really good NFL players for your team. That's kind of how it works. So I had so much virtual currency that I couldn't even spend all of it. So what I did was I made an Instagram account to sell the virtual currency to other people because I had like such a surplus. And I was like, listen, you guys, you're messing with me now. But if I can like even make like $50 off of selling this virtual currency, I'll have unlimited excuses to be playing this game. Honestly, that's what it was.
That's a great mindset. I like that. Okay.
So I made the Instagram account and I would go on like the NFL's page and I would comment like, hey, I'm selling Madden Mobile coins, like $50 for 1 million coins, something like that. Mm. And then people started to actually DM me and someone would send me like an Amazon gift card. They'd send me like $50 Amazon gift card and then I would give them 1 million. There's going to be people from anywhere, people from North Carolina, Florida, whatever.
Wow.
I'd give them the 1 million coins. They'd give me like a $50 Amazon gift card. And then I would make like, I had like a silly amount of like Amazon gift cards at my house, which was, that was just funny. So that was for like the first 2 years, I could just kind of like scheme it off as I was just selling the virtual currency.
Mm.
Well, then eventually someone said, hey, it was just an anonymous person on Instagram messaged me and they were just like, they bought coins for me, whatever. We had a little conversation. Then they're like, hey, if you posted a YouTube video, you know, there's a chance you could sell more coins. You like, maybe more people would see your currency. I still don't know who this person is and I can't thank them enough for this. So
somebody just hopped into your DMs and said, you know what?
Randomly.
You should post these videos to YouTube.
To sell more virtual currency. Exactly.
Wow.
So I made
it. Still have the DM?
I wish I did. Far back and I've gotten, you know, over the course of doing all this, I've gotten so many DMs, but I cannot find it, but I wish I could. And I wish I could figure out who that person was.
Right.
But
right.
I made one video like teaching people how to play the game, basically. And then eventually I just kept posting these videos because in the description I would say, hey, I'm selling coins, message me on Instagram. And then it got to the point, and I didn't even know this at the time, I get an email from YouTube when these videos started getting more views, and YouTube says, hey, would you like to monetize your videos? I was like, duh. Like, I would love to monetize my videos. And I didn't even know that it was an option. I had absolutely no idea that you could do that.
Yeah.
So I monetized the videos, and I was kind of like making the YouTube videos, and there was a little bit of income there, and then I was still selling the coins. And eventually, the views I was getting on those YouTube videos surpassed the amount that I was making from selling the virtual currency. So it became no longer worth my time to sell the virtual currency, and now I could just focus on making the videos for an income.
That is amazing.
It just kind of took off from there.
So the foot in the door was basically selling the virtual currency.
Absolutely.
Because people wanted, you know, those points so they could purchase the big-time players to get good at the game.
Exactly.
I'm wondering, before YouTube reached out to you, Matt, what kind of views were you getting? What numbers were you getting on YouTube for YouTube to say, okay, this guy is really making a dent right now?
I wish they had like a finite number where I could say you have to reach X views, but
right.
I think it's more of like a consistency-based thing. So I was probably getting maybe 3,000, 4,000 views per video, and I was posting about 4 or 5 times per week. So I was probably getting maybe 100,000 views a month. I would say that would be like a high end, and that was after about 3 or 4, about 4 or 5. Actually, it's probably more like 6 almost, but it was almost after 6 months of posting that I actually got that email.
Okay.
So it was about that long.
So I next want to ask this. So what got people in the door was, of course, the coins. When that went away and you could just focus on the videos, what do you think kept people coming and clicking on your YouTube videos week after week, time after time?
Oh, gosh, that's a really good one. Well, it's nice that I fulfill a really specific niche, and that's, I guess, something I'd say to anyone. There are so many niches on YouTube. Like, you could do absolutely anything.
Like, just like Madden, I know there's a lot of people posting. I watch another guy, Rayweather. That's his name.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Rayweather, yeah. He's got really good tips.
I've gotten a lot of tips. Yep. He has saved many Madden games for Al Martin over here. But there's a lot of people doing this. So what makes your video so special, Matt?
Well, I like to think, I guess, that I go more towards the entertainment side than I do the competitive or the tip side now, at least. Mm-hmm. So at the start, it was like kind of teach people how to play the game or teach them how to earn the coins. But I knew that, for one, wouldn't last forever. And for two, that doesn't differentiate at all. I suppose the tips that I give, is so long as they're the same tips as someone else, there's no way that I could actually get a consistent viewership based on that.
Right.
So what actually really pushed me to make my content as entertaining as possible and as do as much as I could to build a personality as opposed to building around the game was when my channel started to do not so great, to be honest. Freshman year of college, for one, college was kind of tough. It was a lot harder to record and stuff, considering my equipment was kind of far away from my dorm and classes were pretty tough. My channel wasn't doing nearly as well as it's doing now. And that was kind of the year when I was like, maybe I'll just stop doing this and I'll, you know, go for college full time. So I just kind of started doing things a lot differently than I had been. I changed up my content away from tips and tricks, stuff like that, and more to like, I'm this person and you should click on the video because I'm the one making the video.
Your personality.
As opposed to you should click on this video because you like this video game.
Gotcha.
That's the goal. That's like the end game for all YouTubers. You want to be where they click on that video just because your name's on it. You could put the stupidest title. It could be the least entertaining looking video. It could be me, like, it should be where I could be staring at paint like dry on the wall and they should hopefully click on it. That's what you're shooting for.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Your personality has to sell it. And I watched a few of your videos in preparation for this interview. And one thing about you are incredibly entertaining.
Thank you. You
sound off and you'll yell and you're just really engaging. So when it comes to your setup, did YouTube help you with the setup? I mean, what's your team like? Do you have a team that you bounce ideas off? I mean, what's the secret sauce, Matt?
For one, the number one thing you gotta do is give up how other people are gonna view you about it. That's 100%, especially being a college student. I'm around so many people who like absolutely judge me based off of this.
Yeah.
And if they click on a video and they have no idea what's going on, they think I'm the weirdest person in the world, I'm over it. I'm already over it. Like, I had to get over that.
So don't care
first.
What people think of you. Yeah.
Yes. And that was definitely the biggest one. But as for a team, I have an editor right now and he is like essential. That guy is excellent. So he helps me. I do the raw footage. I do the thumbnails. I do the titles. I do all that. But my editor makes sure he gets that video like crispy, like clean cut. He adds the sound effects. He adds like the memes and all that stuff.
Right.
That's super central. But yeah, it's just me and him right now.
Matt, you brought up how you have to get out of your mind what people think of you. And I think that's so key for anybody in any field.
Absolutely.
If you're going to be great at what you do and you're going to really be authentic and genuine, because that's what this medium is all about, YouTube and media and entertainment, right? Being the authentic you. Did you have a moment where somebody came up to you and said, Matt, what are you doing? Are you crazy? And you started overthinking that? Was there a moment when that happened to you?
Oh, absolutely. And this would be for anyone who starts out a YouTube channel, because you would be the luckiest person in the world if you just started a YouTube channel and you're instantly popular, you're instantly famous, right? Mm. If I were to have told somebody that I was doing a YouTube channel, or they were to have watched my video on their own accord and made that judgment before it was million subscribers or before I got to be in the LSJ, which is awesome. I'm really grateful for all that. But before that, it's like, this seems like a waste of time to me. That's kind of what people think. It's like, dude, you're playing video games in your room. Like, you want to tell me that you think you're going to make a living out of this, or you think this is something that's like beneficial for your career? Like, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. And that's the reaction you get until it's popular and until you have like fans or whatever. Until
you're validated.
Exactly.
Really, right?
So unless you can get over that hump, it's irrelevant how far you would have gotten. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because, totally. In high school, when I was making the channel and there was not a lot of views and it did not look like it was worth my time, it wasn't monetized, it was like I said, it was like, dude, you're playing this game so much. Just stop playing. This is silly.
What'd your parents think? I'm curious.
Huge shout out to them. I think they are listening. I totally told them I was doing this.
Awesome.
Mom, Dad, I love you. they are so beyond supportive. That was another one of the things that a lot of people told me would be their drawback. So I talked to my friends and be like, dude, if I told my mom that I was going to go in my room and like edit a video for 4 hours and play Xbox, she would have told me to like go get a job.
Right. But, they didn't do that.
No, they were so supportive. My parents were awesome. Like they supported me 100% of the way. They were like, if you love it and you're passionate about it, go ahead and do it. So super, super grateful for that.
That's awesome. Again, if you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Madden video game YouTube sensation, Matt Maher. Matt, you are a student here at Michigan State University. I mentioned you went and were a student at DeWitt High School. You're from here in mid-Michigan, played under the great Rob Zimmerman. And a particular piece I want to hamper at right now is the fact that near the beginning of the piece, you know, Phil Friend says that you are a millionaire, and it, the graph after that, it says that, you know, I think you basically said, well, I'm not technically a millionaire, but I made a pretty good living doing this already, and you're so young right now. Mm-hmm. You make more than anybody here at WKAR, probably anybody here on campus, to be honest with you. But you go on to say that you bring in a nice hefty income. I'm curious what does that look like?
I can like walk you through how it all works. And,
how does that work?
The other thing, because like I genuinely couldn't tell Phil or really anybody how much I make because I don't even know.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So because there's not some hardcore number that you bring in every 2 weeks.
Absolutely not. If I had a salary, that'd be nice. I would have a lot less stress. So the first thing that YouTube, the main way that a YouTuber would make money is just your ad revenue. So anytime anyone clicks on a YouTube video, most of the time there's an ad. Mm-hmm. So whoever owns that channel gets the money from that ad. YouTube gets their cut, but that's you don't even see that calculation, so you don't really worry about that. Mm-hmm. So let's say on average I would get about probably 8 million views a month. So I would get advertisement revenue from each one of those 8 million views. Mm-hmm. Now, that can fluctuate itself based on like three different factors. Number one is going to be the CPMs. So it's called cost per mile. It's basically how much advertisers are paying, and you're totally familiar with this stuff.
Definitely.
For all the viewers, it's just going to be how much advertisers are paying based on what month it is. So December, there's Christmas ads. People love to like, advertisers are just flocking to places like
people
YouTube,
shop.
Google.
It's Christmas.
People are shopping. So 8 million views in December is way more than 8 million views in February. February is by far the worst month because that's when they spent their December budget. They spent their January budget. Now they're saving up for, you know, whatever else they're going to advertise for. At least on YouTube, that's kind of how it works.
Gotcha.
So that's one thing to consider first. Second is how engaging your view is. For example, a lot of people are familiar on YouTube with a term called clickbait, which mm-hmm. is basically where your title and your thumbnail are so misleading. So the title of the video tells you how to do this, and then you click on it, and you're like, oh, this is so bogus.
This is
not what I clicked on. So then you click off. That's not worth nearly as much as someone clicking on your video and watching the entire 13 minutes, being engaged the whole time, liking the video, commenting on it, and like realizing that they really like that video. So that's why you're actually, it's an awesome system, to be honest. You're pushed to make a really good video. So if I make a garbage video, I'm going to get garbage revenue for it. So that makes a lot of sense. And then on top of that, you'll have sponsors. So like someone might come to me and say, hey, we have this product. A lot of times it'll be people who sell tickets for sports games. Mm-hmm. Like in my and your arena is just like tickets,
crazy.
Like SeatGeek is the one that I use. So they'll say, hey, we'll give you X dollars. You shout us out in the first 30 seconds of your video. And then we could sign a contract, do this for 10 videos, or it could be a one-time thing. So that's another source of revenue. And then the only other ones would be like merchandise. I've sold merchandise before. It's really fun. It's not like a big source. Like definitely the main sources are just getting views and then your sponsors on the side of that.
That is awesome. So it's safe to say, since you've really made this a thing now on YouTube, you're in the six-figure range, right, per year?
That's absolutely correct, yeah.
Absolutely amazing. For any you know, all of my young listeners out there, you can do anything, guys. You can do anything. And I tell you what, eGames is becoming so big now.
Yes, it is.
Twitch, you know, I have to – my league is so serious that I'm in, Matt, in this franchise mode that we're in. We all own a team. We have to Twitch our games. Every time we play, we got to Twitch it so that there's no funny business going on and everybody can watch.
You can't cheat.
You can't cheat. Okay. Exactly. So I didn't know what Twitch was until I signed up for the league, but it is blown up. As we come up here to close out the hour, Matt, I do want to ask you Well, first off, can you tell us how our listeners out there can follow your work?
Oh, absolutely. The channel is called MMG. If you type that into YouTube, you'll find it from there. And then in the description of all my videos, I have links to all my other social medias. So if you're interested, type in MMG to YouTube. You can find it right there.
And I want to ask you, too, it's not just you playing Madden, but you spice it up a bit. I mean, have different challenges. You got like this wheel of death. I don't know. The wheel of something. You know,
yeah,
you spin.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. Talk about the content that you have on there that is different.
Yeah. And that goes along with what I was saying about you want to get people to come for you and not the game.
Exactly.
So the game is an excellent niche to fill, and it's a perfect hub. Like, I can center things around that, and I can center my content around the NFL. Mm-hmm. But, like, at DeWitt, I was a kicker, so I'll sometimes do, like, kicking videos where I'll, like, make fun of an NFL kicker who missed a kick that I could go out there and make. I know it's way harder to do it in an NFL game. You don't have to tell me.
Right.
I'll do that. And I'll do stuff with my girlfriend, or I'll just do, like, a day in my life. I have a bunch of day in my lives at MSU, which are really fun. And I get a lot of people who come to MSU, and they're not like fans of the channel or fans of Madden necessarily, but the most common comment I get around campus will be like, hey, I saw your day in the life because I wanted to come to this campus, but I didn't know what it was like.
Yeah.
So I watched that video, and like that's the main video that people will have seen because people are just like MSU campus, you know, into YouTube. And then I have like four of those. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So you just got to draw people to like yourself away from the game, but a little bit. You got to walk a fine line, kind of.
Final question. We have two minutes left. No, you're fine. Matt, final question. Where do you want to take this thing? What's the goal? To keep making videos until you're 50, 60 years old? What do you want to do with this?
I get that one a lot. I just want to continue to be like satisfied and fulfilled with whatever I'm doing. And that's especially why I'm in college, too. I don't foresee that I'll want to do this when I'm 35. If things are going great, I love making videos and I'm making a really good income off of it, I will do it until like I die.
Right.
Right. But my foreseeable future would be 6 or 7 years. This would still be fun and I would still be satisfied doing this.
Gotcha.
But then I'll have a marketing degree, hopefully, and a master's as well.
So it's not like you're dropping out because you're making all this money, right? You're finishing it, getting that degree. Gotcha.
And then hopefully move into a full-time career where I'm also satisfied. So
that's
this
awesome.
Is just a nice base. It's a nice nice foot in the door.
You think? Definitely.
That's one way to put it.
Matt Maher. Matt, thank you so much for joining us. We got to get you back, maybe sometime in the summertime to talk about
video
games. Oh,
absolutely. This was so much fun. Thank you for having me.
Awesome.
This was a blast.
Stuff. Matt Maher, again, MSU junior, who is a viral sensation, Madden video game YouTuber. We'll definitely have Matt back. As we close out the hour here, man, I'm in the mood to play. Alec, I'm in the mood to play Madden right now, dude. It just got me amped up, man. But I got a job to do. I probably won't leave until like 6. Hit the gym and then play tonight. But awesome stuff.
I love Madden.
What are we doing with our lives, dude? We should have been making, you know, YouTube videos on video games a long time ago.
You still do it.
Right, exactly. Right. Well,
anything's possible. People start getting possible. Money at like age 30 or something, so never feel discouraged.
It's crazy, dude. Shout out to Matt. That's awesome stuff. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, folks. Same time, same place, right here on WKAR AM 870, 105.1 FM. Have a great afternoon. And as always, be easy, people.